Sudden Rift Adventures and Historic Travelers Rest South Carolina has been outfitting the foothills for over 37 years with the best boats, bikes, tents, and more. With great brands, Sudden Rift has you covered for every adventure. Stop into Sudden Rift Adventures' unique outdoor shop and say hello today. Go to sunrift.com for more information. That's sunrift.com. Nature's Edge is brought to you by the Angler Magazine of Western North Carolina, Western North Carolina's only magazine dedicated to the fishing enthusiast. Pick one up at over 400 locations throughout Western North Carolina or visit them online at theanglermagazine.com to find out more. And be sure to follow them on Facebook, Angler Magazine of Western North Carolina.com.
Hey guys, Dale Stewart here. What are we doing, Forrest? We making a good... I'm picking on my producer this morning a little bit. Guys, welcome to Nature's Edge, and I sure thank you for listening to us. You know, we've got an interesting show today, and it's springtime, and all the little baby animals are out and about, and the moms and dads, and a lot of people tend to find little animals, baby birds, baby mammals, reptiles, turtles on the ground, and they think they've got to pick them up and protect them. And those of you that know me know that I am absolutely against that unless it's an injured animal or something like that. And today we're going to talk about this with some friends of mine from the nonprofit Appalachian Wild. Kimberly Brewster is here, and Kimberly is one of the co-founders of Appalachian Wild, and we're also joined by Winslow Umberger. Umberger, did I say that right?
Umberger.
There we go. Who is head of outreach for Appalachian Wild. Ladies, welcome to Nature's Edge.
Thank you so much, Dale. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Tell me about Appalachian Wild.
So Appalachian Wildlife Refuge is a nonprofit in beautiful Western North Carolina that was started with the mission to help support the wildlife rehab network locally, as well as do rescue rehab of injured North and wild animals. And we work with the native wildlife in our area.
And how long have you been doing this now?
We dreamed this up back in 2014. The co-founder, Savannah Trantham's a home-based wildlife rehabber, and I'm a nonprofit business professional. We came together and saw there was a huge need for this in our community and formed in 2014.
Yeah, you know, I actually remember those first meetings. I attended those.
Yes,
and
you did.
And really was wanting to get more involved. And as you know, my life is a little crazy from time to time, so I didn't get into that all of that. But what is the main mission of Appalachian Wildlife?
So the main focus was to help the local wildlife rehab network. It consists of home-based rehabbers and a few facilities that are in the local area. And so there were increasing numbers of animals injured and orphaned that were being found. And as the numbers increased, the home-based rehabbers were overwhelmed. So were the facilities. And so that is why we got started, so that we could provide that support. The home-based rehabbers had tried to put something like this together for 30 years, and they never had someone with the fundraising, the marketing, the business strategy side to it that had the time and initiative to make it happen. So when Savannah and I met, it was destiny to create this wonderful resource for the community and relieve these overwhelmed home-based rehabbers who are permitted in the state, but they do this as volunteers. And so it's a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, as I said, you know, a lot of people find these babies and they don't realize that animal parents, just like human parents, take breaks away from those babies, and they often leave their young on the ground or hid somewhere, and people come by and they just assume that the babies have been abandoned, and we have such an amazing ability that of compassion for small creatures that we think we've got to pick them up and take care of them, and generally that's to the detriment of the young animal. You agree with that, Winslow?
Absolutely. As head of outreach, I actually help educate the community through articles and social media posts. And a big part is just really educating the public, because they really are well-intentioned. They think that it is abandoned. And so with some pointers like you need to wait and see if mom is truly gone and let them know what the life cycle is of the animals and how it proceeds, with that, then they can actually make better decisions as to whether to bring them in or not, you know. So we give them all the pointers.
Do the when people do pick up a wild animal or they do get one like that, then are you guys warning them then to immediately bring that animal to you?
Well, there are a lot of things that you need to check for first. And you don't want to immediately go in and rescue, because a lot of times they don't need to be rescued and their chance of survival significantly decreases if they are essentially kidnapped from their parents who yeah. know how to take care of them. And so people can go to our website, appalachianwild.org, and there's a found an animal page that everybody should check out. Even if you haven't found an animal yet, at some point you or someone will have these questions. Go there and read through that page, and it has flowcharts on what to do and what not to do. And bottom line is, if you go through that and you're still thinking these animals need help, you can contact us. And we have teams that work to get the animals into our hands or wildlife rehabbers.
And you have access to veterinarians and that sort of thing when people show up with these babies?
We do. We have a core of volunteers. We have home-based rehabbers that are permitted that volunteer with us. And then we also have local vets that volunteer and donate their time.
What about, I know that there are certain laws and regulations dealing with all of this. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So in order to do anything with native wildlife, you have to have a state permit and in some cases a federal permit. There are also some specialty needs with certain animals, like finding a young deer, a fawn. There are rehabbers that are licensed specifically to help the fawns. But there are also laws around what we are not able to work with. And on that found an animal page, it gives you details about the animals that we legally are not able to help. And we have to go to the Wildlife Commission or we have to go to animal control.
Is that mainly raptors or...
No, we deal with the raptors. Those are the birds of prey.
Yeah.
So we deal with all birds except for the wild turkey.
Okay.
Because there are laws around that with the commission. And vector species, which are animals that have the potential to carry rabies.
Yes.
So those have very specific laws. And people from other states don't necessarily know that we can't deal with them because the laws are different in every state.
And what are the laws dealing with people? Because people want to keep these babies. You know, they get them and they want to keep them and make pets out of them. Are there laws regulating that? I mean, what you can keep and what you can't keep?
There are. So there's a limit. Obviously, if you find something and you see that it needs help, contact a rehabber. Contact us immediately because you can have it in your possession. Winslow, I believe it's up to 24 hours.
Yep, yeah.
Up to 24 hours. However, we don't want people giving it food. We don't want people giving it fluids. Do not Google to find out what to feed that baby rabbit.
Because, good advice.
Yeah, there's you know special ways that you have to feed them, not to aspirate, and their best chance at survival is to contact us.
Yeah, and you know, and sadly, baby rabbits generally do not make it. Unless they do get in the hands of someone like you guys.
They are the most challenging. You sneeze and they can die.
Yes.
But we are blessed to have a couple of rabbit whisperers that have been doing this for many, many years and have great success with the rabbits.
What do you do with the babies when they grow up?
Well, first thing, when we get an animal into our care, we treat it as a wild animal. We don't give it a name. We give it a number, and we try to have minimal contact. When we feed it, we try to do it quickly. We have covers over the cages because we don't want them to get accustomed to humans. And because we are really basically an intermediary, we are an urgent care center right now, we stabilize them, and then we get them into the hands of the specialized rehabilitator. That person is experienced and knows how to keep a wild animal wild. And then when that animal's ready to be released, and only they know when, they find an area or they try to return it to the place from whence it was found, because animals do have their own territory. So whenever it's possible, that's what we try to do.
That's, you know, that's good stuff, and that's great advice, too, on people, especially that the ones that just want to make a pet out of it. And generally, as we were speaking, that doesn't end well for the animal. Kimberly, I know you guys have a program that I think is amazing and that I wanted to talk to you a little about, and it is called Wands for Wildlife.
It's so funny because when I bring this up to people, I tell them, bear with me. I'm going to start talking about something that you're not going to understand why I'm bringing this up in regards to animals.
I did.
It's about mascara wands.
Yeah.
What's amazing is that we have engaged people from all over the world, every state in this country and all around the globe. People are taking action to recycle and to help wild animals by cleaning off and sending in their mascara wands. It was 2 years ago that Savannah posted on her Facebook page about recycling old mascara wands to help the wildlife rehabbers. They are used when the animals come in, if they have parasites, if they have fly larvae. The bristles are close together and very soft, and so they can use them to quickly clean off the animal, which literally can be life or death. If they have an open injury and have those on them, that could kill them if they got into the injury. So they're able to do this, not harm the animal, and it is amazing that something so simple went completely viral.
And I asked Savannah why what they used before they had the mascara wands, and they said, well, you know, the wildlife rehabilitators had it creative with flea combs or toothbrushes, and actually, before the wand, she said they would spend hours tirelessly picking out carefully, particularly the larvae that might have been embedded in the skin. And I saw a video of them using a wand on a squirrel with that. I was stunned at how quickly it combed it out, and only that tool would work.
And you guys have gotten a lot of publicity over that, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done so many interviews, even just over the past 2 weeks. And then yesterday, my dad sent me an email with a picture of People Magazine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? And this week's People Magazine, we are towards the back in the beauty section. A beauty editor was talking about recycling for Earth Day, and our little small nonprofit in Western North Carolina is in People Magazine about the Wands for Wildlife program.
Take that outreach, take that publicity, and go with it. So are people just sending you wands now, or?
They are, and it's great because we have people of all ages. I have little kids that are writing notes and doing drawings of animals to thank us for
awesome.
What we're doing, which with the hard work that we're putting in, it really lifts us up. And we have groups and schools and businesses. The makeup department at NBC's Blacklist had a wand raiser. We have Girl Scout troops across the country.
Well, what's wonderful about the wands, not only is it a wonderful tool and very necessary, but it's an entree into the world of education. I go around and speak to Girl Scout troops and schools and even to adult groups, and that's the entree they're interested in. And then we get to explain the mission and bring animal conservation to the fore. And then additionally, it's something simple they can do. People want to help, but here's an easy way where they can get something readily available, clean it off, mail it to us, and feel good about it. And oftentimes, they'll even put some money in there with it, which is enormously helpful for us in buying supplies.
Well, absolutely. And Kimberly knows that I do a lot of work with zoos all over the world. And I was recently at a zoo out west, and it was sort of a meet and greet with kids and talking to kids about animals and everything else. And we were expecting to have 30 or 40 kids there, and we wound up having 200. I think what the draw was, I was there with two baby white tigers. And so I think they came to see the white tigers instead of me. And we actually But the kids love, you know, interacting with wildlife, and it is an amazing opportunity. And I always take that opportunity to explain to them, though, that these are not pets.
Yeah, and I always, you know, really focus and harp on sustainability in the sense that we need to sustain the support for our environment. And the kids are the future to make that happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, Earth Day's coming up, and this is a great time. And I speak, you know, to schools and to kids almost weekly, it seems like, around the country. And it is a great way to get kids involved. And they ask great questions. And the thing about it is, and they go home, and they really will educate their parents about what they heard. And I see that a lot, you know, about things. And I've also had people show up with baby squirrels and baby possums and things to give to me. You know, so now I know who to call when they do that.
Call Appalachian Wild.
Talk, I guess you're always in need of volunteers.
We are in actually great need of volunteers right now. We are moving into baby season. We went from 16 animals to over 60 in 2 days last week.
Yeah.
We opened up an urgent care. It's a triage center. We want to grow into full service rehab, but right now we need more help just for the urgent care. So the support's coming in, and volunteers are stepping up, but we need more people locally helping, and we also need people from all over helping with donations, as well as getting items from our wish list, which is on the website. We need food. We need syringes. We go through that very quickly right now.
Define food.
Do you want to talk about the food?
Well, every animal has its own specific diet. So it could be something like a powdered formula that will be a kind of a milk-type product, or it'll be a hard kibble. But we also do a lot of fresh food and produce because we give them a really healthy diet, and they eat very well. But that comes at a cost, and we want to make sure that we give that animal the greatest chance for survival, and it has to be foundationally supported with good nutrition.
Absolutely. And where physically are you located?
So we're located just outside of Asheville in Candler. The facility is not open to the public because it's an emergency room. Plus, we don't want people just leaving animals there when we're not there to take care of them. So people can contact us through the website.
So if they do have an animal, rather than showing up, you want them to contact you through the website. And then do you come pick them up or send a volunteer to get the animal? Or?
So we have a transport network of volunteers. And what we do is have the finder, the person that found the animal, help us with meeting that transporter, because we don't want to send people to people's homes. We want the volunteers to feel safe as well. And so they meet the finders to get the animals and then transport them.
I'll just show up at your house.
No, you know.
Next time I have a creature. What else you want to tell us about Appalachian Wild?
Well, I like to speak personally. I had retired, and that lasted maybe 5 months, where I just felt like I didn't have meaning. And so I heard about that Appalachian Wild was starting up. I reached out to Kimberly. We met for an hour and a half. I offered my talents as a writer, dubiously talent, but I came away from that meeting with a joy that I cannot express. My heart was going to beat out of my chest because I had found something that married my passion for animals with a way, an avenue for me to express it. And I have to say that I've taken on more and more responsibilities, and they never feel like work, and it's so rewarding. And the people that I work with, I respect tremendously. They're supportive. I cannot tell you, the camaraderie has meant as much to me as helping the animals.
So I promised my husband I wouldn't cry today, but I'm the crier, and tears are welling up in my eyes because these are the most amazing people I have ever met in my life, and they care so much. And the people from around the world that are responding, it is a good world filled with a lot of beautiful, wonderful people.
It really is, and I think we forget that with all the craziness that that we hear on the news and that we see every day. But the world is full of good, caring people. And sometimes they're a little miseducated, and that's one of the things that we try to do here on Nature's Edge is talk to people about wildlife and talk to people about nature, both the good and the bad sides of it, and what we have to do. And I think, ladies, what you are doing is not only much needed, But it's pretty amazing. And as you know, Kimberly, I've followed you from day one with what you were doing, and we'll try to get more involved again as
oh, you don't have to try. Trust me, I've got plans for you, Dale.
As time allows, and we can do that. How much time we have for us? All right, I do want to – people that want to volunteer or people that might want to give you some money or do that, the best way, I'm assuming, is through the website. And give that to us again.
Absolutely. It's www.appalachianwild.org. Or, of course, as some people say, Appalachian Wild, since you have a viewership from all over.
Yeah, yeah, that's – so they can go there. Now, can they actually volunteer on the website, or how does that process work?
Absolutely. They can sign up to volunteer under the support section. There's also donate buttons there, too, all over. Click that button, and you can sign up and apply to volunteer. There are opportunities in every area working with animals, as well as a lot of other fun areas like the Wands for Wildlife program.
Now, people that might want to work with the animals, do you have a training program, or do you expect them to come with some knowledge before they arrive?
Knowledge is great, gets you up to speed quicker, but there is a process and a lot of training to go through before you're doing the hands-on, and especially the triage aspect.
Oh, absolutely. I could see that. Winslow, tell me a little more about the outreach side of things. I mean, I know you go to schools and you talk to groups, but are you available if someone wanted you to come speak?
Yeah, absolutely. I usually come with a partner, depending on what the focus of the talk is. If it's Wands for Wildlife, I'll bring Kimberly's mother and wand wizard, Phyllis. And when I go out there, I'm always keen that I am going to be not only educating them about what we do, but it's a wonderful opportunity to say, you know, you don't feed bread to ducks. You know, I'll bring up an animal, and I'll bring up a related fact that they can do. Like, you know, you might want to talk to your parents about that landscape netting or the entangled fishing line. So it's the outreach part, that's the part that's important. It's getting the message out how to save animals and keep them out of our doors.
Yeah, it's an education process, and it's a long process. Ladies, I really appreciate you joining us on Nature's Edge. And friends, I know you want to do the right thing when it comes to our wildlife and especially to rescue and baby animals. Leave them alone. This is Dale Stewart, Nature's Edge. Until next time, run wild, run free, my friends.
When the sun goes down. Visit naturesedgemedia.com. You can check out podcasts, videos, lecture archives from Dale, and much more. Thank you for listening to Nature's Edge with Dale Stewart, brought to you by Angler Magazine of Western North Carolina.